Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
All right, here we go. Back at it. Another episode of Overflow. Man, before we get started, if you would mash that subscribe button, notification button, whatever it is, as we in Truxo, everything we're doing, combating the drought of love in persons and organizations and ministries and everyone that we can get our hands on, get our hearts on, get our spirits involved in, to drive them away from lifeless forms of Christianity, to ignite them in a supernatural crackle of life that we'll talk about today. And this is the way. This is one of the primary ways of receiving weekly content from everything that we're doing on the front lines. So much of what we do, what we generate, comes out of real-time conversations with real people that are experiencing the bombs dropping and the bullets flying. What does it look like? What does it look like to connect God our Father in the flow of the regular life that we're living out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on and on and on and on and on. So mash that subscribe button, notification button, share this on the highways and byways to your brothers and sisters in the Lord that need to be injected with words of scripture that connect with life and give explanation and wisdom, and away we go. So the past few episodes of Overflow, we have been drilling down into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in all sorts of different ways. We've looked at this from the perspective of pawns in a kingdom war that they don't understand, that the enemy, Satan, is playing both sides, playing Palestinian side, playing Israeli side, keeping both of them away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at last week at the biblical differentiation between five different Israels. The Apostle Paul saying, hey, the Apostle Paul, Israeli of Israeli, Jew of Jews, Hebrew of Hebrews. And the Apostle Paul saying in Romans chapter 9, hey, not all Israel is Israel. Ooh, what a mess that is. And what does that look like? And what are the implications that have, does that have on our understanding of our lives? Not all Christians are Christians. And what is that implications that have on our understanding of what's going on in the Middle East? I want to continue kind of sort of in that same vein, but press into a little bit deeper this understanding of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, because kingdom reality, kingdom language, kingdom invocation, in my experience, is one of the major whiffs, one of the major blind spots, one of the major deficiencies in our training in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the West. And so I continue to try and wake people up and stir people into kingdom reality, because there's so much life, there's so much juice, there's so much power God our Father intends us to experience, and we're just anemic. So my concern as we launch into this session is that you are not stirred or electrified by being in the kingdom of God. By that I mean, real pragmatically, that you're not daily drawing from the soul nectar that's available to us because we are spirit-filled people empowered to engage in victorious kingdom living. For way, way too many of us, the invocation of the kingdom of God is flaccid. It's limp. What about this word? It's droopy. It's droopy, like a plant that hasn't been, like this plant back here is actually dying. It's like a plant that has just been not nourished or what is this? Is it a plant? Yes. Is it a vivacious plant? No. It is droopy. Whereas being a part of the kingdom of God should make you chest thump daily, like being a part of the Houston Astros dynasty or being a contributor to some major industry-leading corporation. To being a part of the kingdom of the living God is to be on the winning team in a creation-wide galactic struggle between light and darkness. It's to be intentionally engaged on Team Jesus. Life in the kingdom is not meh, it's not flat beer, it's not carbonless Coke. You know, there's something different about Coke at McDonald's. McDonald's has some special deal with Coca-Cola. I've actually heard that McDonald's gets their Coke from Coca-Cola in not in plastic bags, which apparently is the normal way, but they actually get it in aluminum containers, which helps maintain the spiciness of McDonald's Coke. The straw at McDonald's is a little bit bigger than the average straw, so that when you suck in that Coca-Cola from the aluminum container, you get just like a nitrous oxide burst of spicy Coca-Cola, and you can feel it. You can feel it if you're a Coke aficionado. I've drank way too much Coke in my life. I don't drink that much of it now, but when I do, I drink McDonald's Coke. You can feel that crackle of the spiciness of McDonald's Coke trickling down the back of your throat. And life in the kingdom, I know this is a bizarre connection, but just go with me. Life in the kingdom can have that kind of Holy Spirit crackle in your soul. There's supposed to be a crackle, the liveliness, a juiciness that we're to derive from the reality that we are in the kingdom of the living God. I want you to see this in our Bible passage today. I want you to see how the kingdom of God affects Daniel in the book of Daniel, go figure, as he stands before the leader of the dominant world power of his day. Watch the kingdom impact in the life of Daniel. He was a teenager. Daniel was a teenager when he was violently ripped from his home in Israel and taken into Babylonian captivity by a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon today is roughly the same geographical location as present Iran. And in 6th century BC, which is where we get the story of Daniel, Babylon was by far the dominant world power. No one jacked with Babylon, and no one jacked with Nebuchadnezzar. Think about a boss that you've had in the past, or a coach that you've had in the past, or a family member that you have in the past that everyone was just afraid of. And he ruled by fear, or she ruled by fear. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody went up against him. And as the story goes, he has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and you can read about this in Daniel chapter 2, and he assembles all of the wise people of Babylon, the Chaldeans all come together, and he says, hey, you got to tell me my dream, and you got to interpret it. And of course, you know, like, you tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it. But Nebuchadnezzar says, no, I'm not going down like that. It's going to be, Nebuchadnezzar, I had a dream, and you're going to tell me what my dream is, and then you're going to tell me the interpretation of the dream. And none of the wise people in all of an all of Babylon can understand this. Daniel gets wind of it. He gets wind of it, and so he goes to his compatriots, his three friends, and says, hey, we need to pray that Yahweh's going to give us revelation. And so Daniel and his buddies pray, and in their prayer, through their prayer, Yahweh, the God of mystery, the God who knows all things, makes known to Daniel the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation. Powerful stuff. And so Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and says, okay, here's your dream. You saw a statue. This was your dream. You saw a statue. And in your statue, the statue had a head of gold, had a breastplate of silver, had a belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of a clay kind of iron mix. So in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he sees this figure. He sees this statue that's got five sections to it. Each section is made out of a different material, lessening in the value of the material from the head all the way to the feet. Gold is more valuable than silver. Silver is more valuable than bronze. Bronze, iron, et cetera, et cetera. Bronze is super utilitarian. Until you get to the bottom where you get this mixture of iron and clay. What is this? The dream continues that this statue with these different materials is run into by a stone that was cut out not by human hands, and this stone collides with the statue, destroys the statue. But not only does the stone destroy the statue, it reduces all of the materials, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron and the clay. It reduces all of that to chaff. And the scripture says in Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel's retelling of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the scripture says that it's all reduced to all of this material is reduced to chaff, and then the wind just blows it away. These materials are just blown into nothingness. Like there's no residue of them at all. They're just eviscerated because this stone collided into this statue. Daniel says, now let me give you the interpretation. The five materials represent global powerhouse kingdoms from Babylon all the way to Rome. world-dominating empires built by men that would succeed one another. Kingdoms, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, who would come after the Babylonians, the Greeks and the Romans. I think I'm forgetting one in there. The Greeks and the Romans. Those are the kingdoms that would to come. Of the stone that decimated, that decimates all of these kingdoms, Daniel's going to say something quite different about this particular stone. And he gives the interpretation of this stone in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, where Daniel says this, in those days, in the days of those kings, of those kingdoms that are going to be decimated, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven is going to stir up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these other kingdoms. But itself will endure forever. The kingdom, the material crushing stone kingdom is actually going to become a mountain that covers the earth that no other kingdom can topple. Man, that's pretty intense. But it's kingdom rich. It's kingdom language. Daniel is saying that God is at work raising up a kingdom that's going to topple every other kingdom. Now remember, Daniel's a teenager when he's revealing this. He's standing in front of the king. He's going face to face with the king of Babylon. And he's declaring that this Babylonian kingdom is going to be rendered to dust by a God-established kingdom. The message was clear. No kingdom on earth would be able to stand against the kingdom that God was going to establish. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a part of the kingdom that crushes all over all other kingdoms? To be on that team, can you imagine what it would be like to be engaged in the reality where you know every day that you have a role to play in the global kingdom movement of the living God? Oh, you already do. You already are in that kingdom. You already do have the opportunity to press into that every single day. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Jesus is the stone of Daniel's interpretation that renders all other kingdoms to wind-blown chaff. That is Jesus. Jesus blatantly, boldly, triumphantly declares in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The stone-crushing kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, 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 and believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Jesus was and is our Father's kingdom cornerstone. He came to reestablish our Father's kingdom on earth. He came to war against Satan and the opposing kingdom of darkness and every one of its manifestations. Jesus did not just come to forgive you of your sins so that you would not cuss or have an anger problem. That is such a incomplete, woefully incomplete understanding of the life and the ministry of Jesus and the role of the kingdom of God in your life today and in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus came to deliver you out of darkness and into his kingdom. He came so that you could be anointed with the Holy Spirit and adopted into our Father's family. He came so that you would be loved, freed, and healed. He came so that you could be trained and empowered. And then he came to send you in the power of the Holy Spirit to the front lines of the war to love other people in dramatic ways in which you get to experience the supernatural work of God to reach people through you. But if you don't understand the kingdom, and if you don't understand and invoke kingdom language and truth, then you miss out on kingdom life. You miss out on this incredible reality of being on this team that cannot lose, about being on the front lines of the activity and the buzz and the electricity of what the Holy Spirit is doing throughout all of creation. Hey, Jesus gives us this prayer. He gives us this prayer that we regularly call the Lord's Prayer, and he certainly did not intend that prayer to be a lifeless, flaccid, droopy recitation of some cute words. He didn't give us the Lord's Prayer so that we could just say it without any substance to it. The Lord's Prayer is a battle prayer of love and intimacy and power that can be wielded daily with increasing dexterity. In the prayer, our King teaches us to pray and to mean with passion and with fervor and with durability and with conviction, Holy Father, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. That prayer line is supposed to be a daily rousing, a daily rousing, a daily rousing to the joy and the wonder and the honor and the juice of being on Team Jesus. It's a daily rousing to winning. It's a daily rousing to victory. It's a daily rousing to the miraculous significance your life has for today's work. For today's work. This is kingdom life, man. This is the kingdom life. May the Holy Spirit rouse you to kingdom living. If you haven't read Matthew 13, you need to go read it. Go read Matthew 13. If you haven't read Brilliant, my book on the Lord's Prayer, or somebody's book on the Lord's Prayer, buy it. Buy it. Today, and harvest in the power of the Holy Spirit the reality of what the kingdom is supposed to have on your life. Kingdom reality gave Daniel boldness to stand in the presence of the King. Kingdom reality shaped the ministry and fortitude of Jesus. Kingdom reality keeps my fire lit daily. What can kingdom reality do to you? Man, Holy Father, I pray that you would pour gasoline on the fire of your children's understanding of your kingdom on earth. Use this blog, use this post, use this podcast as an igniter for anointing. Loose the Holy Spirit in them until they have the mind of Christ about the kingdom and their place on the front line. Amen and amen and amen. Here's some next steps for you. Buy Brilliant. Buy Brilliant. I'll put a link in the stuff below. Subscribe to Overflow. You can do that on the Trexo website so that you can be sure to get our content regularly, be in step with how we are driving kingdom disciple making, filled up in love. And when you do that, you become a part of Team Trexo. Go tell your pastor, go tell your ministry leader that you want to be on the front lines. What does it look like to serve on the front lines in my church? What does it look like to be on the front lines of my ministry? Go tell your pastor. And lastly, if God is moving on your heart and you would love to help support us, it takes a lot of money to be able to put these messages and this technology and this ministry, if this has been helpful to you and you feel led to donate, man, I would certainly and greatly appreciate it. Put a link in the caption below as well. But most of all, and above all, may you be lit on fire as a soldier in the kingdom of God, so that you can feel the juice of what it is to be alive in the kingdom and be used of God Almighty in a powerful way to love people, to love them well, one person, one step, one issue at a time. Send this out on your social media channels. It would be super helpful to us to get the message out. And we'll be back together again next time as we press in together and learn what it looks like to live in the overflow.
Thank you for joining us in the overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.